Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, and that familiar slap of the bass means it's time for the weekend wrap. A lot of good action this weekend and last weekend. Let's get right to the point here and get our first guest on, Mr. John Iceman Scully. Scully, how are we doing tonight, my man? It's been a minute.
Everything's all right. Just getting ready to get back in the gym tomorrow and resume my regular life. How you doing?
Doing great, my man. A lot of action down your way. We've had some fights down there in Kissimmee. John, what's happening down there in Florida, and what should we look for on the boxing schedule from down around your way?
Well, to be honest, I actually moved back to Connecticut last Sunday. I'm in Connecticut now, permanently. So, but I know I actually have a fighter. Actually, I had him on. I connected you guys. Miguel Cruz was on your show a few weeks ago, and he's actually like 10-0, 11. I think he's 12-0 now as a welterweight, and he's really a hot prospect out of Orlando, and I believe he's fighting on a PBC show in a couple weeks. So he's a name to look out for, definitely.
Oh, most definitely. Yes, I do remember Mr. Cruz, very likable young man. And, we do look forward to having him on the show many more times. John, while we're talking about welterweights here, we did see Mr. Chris Algieri get back in the ring against Eric Bonet. Were you able to watch any of the fights, any of the action this weekend?
I caught the main event, of course. I caught a little bit of Chris's fight, and I think Chris is a good fighter, and one thing about boxing, like, you know, he lost to Pac-Man, and I guess he lost the next fight, but he's always going to have that win, that big win he scored a couple years ago, and he's going to always be able to capitalize on that to a certain degree, and I think he's the type of guy. He has that elusive style, and he's tough. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him shock somebody else. You know, somebody else maybe underestimates a little bit, he's what I call the livest of underdogs. And so anybody who fights him, they really need to be on their game and not forget what he did with Pavonikov.
The one thing that kind of worries me, I mean, you know, last fight we saw him in with John Davidson, fight before that, Freddie Roach. Is it time for maybe Chris to find a home for his particular style?
Yeah, I mean, it would seem so. I mean, you know, and I believe this. I mean, when you get a guy who has a really distinct style, and then they go with another trainer, even a superstar trainer, you're not going to see an overhaul. Like this guy, you know, it's like when guys, you know, they went with Kevin Rooney because they thought he was going to make him Mike Tyson, or they went with Alton Merkerson because they thought he was going to make him Roy Jones. There's only so much that a trainer can do in terms of training a guy and changing him, especially a guy who's already, you know, set in his ways and established. So I think Chris has that base style that he used with Pavonikov, and you know, he could tweak it here and there, but that's generally his niche. That's what he does, and that's what people who fight him are generally going to have to prepare for.
Oh, most definitely. We've seen a big turnover, in the heavyweights since the last time we had you on the show. So I haven't really. Wasn't able to get your opinion on the Klitschko Fury outcome, John. What did you think? Was that more of a war of attrition on the fact of Klitschko I mean, to me, it just looked like he never really had his heart in the fight. Was I wrong?
I mean, my thing is this, and I felt this way going in pretty much, was that style. You know, Fury has a style, and it's like you could watch a guy like him. You could watch him, you could watch other people, and you say, hey, he's not that good. You know, he's not this, he's not that. But when you're in there with the guy, and, you know, he could just do something a little off-putting. You know, he could switch a certain way. He could lean a certain way constantly that just throws you off. And everybody watching is like, oh, get him. Just go in and get him. Just rush him. And it seems easy. But when you're in there, and I always felt that I didn't necessarily think he was going to beat Klitschko, but I certainly felt he was going to give Klitschko problems because of his height and his elusiveness and a lot of fainting. If you notice, you know, he did a lot of fainting, and I don't think, and I did say, to pat myself on the back, I'd say before the fight that he was going to present Klitschko with something that he had never seen before. Klitschko had fought a lot of big guys, heavy guys and everything, but everybody was kind of basically in the same realm. This guy has a very awkward and elusive and kind of herky-jerky and a difficult style that maybe is a little easier to beat looking at it than it is actually being in there with it. And so I don't necessarily think Klitschko aged so much. I just think the style was very difficult for him.
How successful do you think Fury can be? I mean, you know, you did mention his size, but is it going to take a little while to get, you know, the polished product out? I mean, he still seems to be rather raw. What is it going to take to get the, you know, the polish? Or,
well,
you know,
I'm gonna tell you, not necessarily in this case, but maybe. But I'll tell you a funny thing, and it may sound crazy to people that really don't box or haven't boxed, but I'll tell you, I've boxed with certain guys that were, you know, younger or whatever the case may be, not terribly experienced. And they gave me great difficulty because they were awkward and they were herky-jerky or whatever the case was. And I always said to myself, when they get better, they're going to be easier for me to box with. They'll be easier when they get better. You know what I mean? Like they're gonna learn to settle down and they're going to refine their style a bit. And it's actually, in a sense, going to work against them. Like their herky-jerkiness and their awkwardness and their unpredictability especially is what made them effective. And I've boxed a few guys who maintain that. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you remember a kid named Ian Gardner, a Canadian kid. He fought out of the Petronelli Gym, Hagler's Gym in Massachusetts. And Ian was a he fought Chad Dawson. He fought Takumbo Olajide. He fought some good guys, fought on TV. And he was very, you know, if you watched him, you'd say, ah, this guy's not that good. He's all over the place. He's herky-jerky. He slaps. And that's how he looked. But from being in with him, it was so difficult. Like, I actually hated sparring with him because he was so unpredictable. And I always said, if he got better, if he got with a trainer that slowed him down and taught him how to punch straighter and everything, he wouldn't be as effective. So, you know, I think, as crazy as it sounds, the fact that Tyson Fury is kind of unrefined actually is one of his strongest points at this, one of his strongest attributes at this game, at this point in the game. I think that's actually what ideally, ultimately, got him the victory. I think Klitschko couldn't time him. Klitschko couldn't figure him out. He couldn't time him. And so I think that lack of polish is actually what helped him win the fight.
Very interesting theory there. Now, keeping with that heavyweight division, we have Brian Jennings getting back in the ring on the 19th of this month. And then right after the first of the year, we have the champion, Mr. Deontay Wilder. He is also back in the ring. John, how wide open with the reign of Klitschko more or less being over with, right, at least for the time being, until we decide whether there's a rematch or not, how wide open is this division for some of the younger guns right now?
I think it's very wide in the sense of, you know, it's like they view Tyson Fury as not nearly the threat that Klitschko was. But again, you know, being in with Klitschko, I think, you know, they – there was a certain amount of fear or intimidation for most of these guys, even if they don't want to admit it. I mean, they didn't all walk in with their hands down against him. You know what I mean? They respected him. I think they're not going to respect Tyson Fury quite as much. I think in a certain way of speaking, it's going to be just as difficult to beat him because he's probably even, you know, I would imagine he's even more confident now that he scored this big win. And like I say, his style is very difficult. I think I don't necessarily know. I wouldn't bank on his chin being super strong. And the only thing, I mean, a gut feeling and the fight with Steve Cunningham, you know, kind of leads me in that direction. Klitschko just couldn't land. You know, he couldn't hit him with that big shot. But I'm suspecting that all of the top heavyweights, the punchers, I think they all have a really legitimate puncher's chance against him, probably more than even they did with Klitschko.
Just speculation, do you see anyone that's going to step in and be that dominant the heavyweight division, or are you looking for somewhat open competition within the next three to four years anyway?
I think I think it's been wide open. Other than Klitschko, I think it's been wide open. You know, there's a lot of guys that actually without Klitschko in the mix, the heavyweight division, while it's not like a big, the guys aren't like huge recognizable people, but I think they're all very comparable. I think now the fight would be Deontay and Fury. I think they should, if Klitschko is, you know, not going to get the rematch or whatever the case may be, I think ultimately Tyson Fury and Deontay would be the fight that I would try to expect that the promoters would kind of be leaning towards and trying to start building up again.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, you already see, you know, Deontay is that every fight you've seen, every fight card, whether it's HBO or Showtime, Deontay's there, you know, letting everyone know, you know, that the other belt is there. So I'm looking to see those negotiations starting real soon. But, let's talk about the upset of the night, Danny Jacobs. Now, you know, everyone thought this was going to be a really competitive fight. You know, if Peter Quillen didn't, take care of his business within the first five rounds, you know, that Danny could take it, taking the distance and, you know, winning the decision. Hey, all of that went the heck within the first 2 minutes. What did you think about Danny? You know, what did you think about that victory? Did you think that he would come out guns a-blazing like that?
No, not at all. I did a couple previews before the fight, and I didn't out and out pick him to win. You know, I know both guys personally. I like both of them. Both really great guys, by the way. I did say that in a fight like this, I generally lean towards the better boxer, the more boxing-minded guy, the more elusive guy, and that would be Danny. You know, but I certainly didn't picture him winning like that. I thought it would be more of him with a strong jab and boxing and frustrating Peter. But you got to give it to him. I mean, he shocked Peter, and I think he shocked everybody. I don't think anybody thought he was going to let the guns go like that. But I do want to energize. I just want to let people know, if they didn't see, it's on YouTube, if they didn't see the post-fight interview, Peter Quillen, that was maybe the classiest post-fight interview from the losing boxer that I've ever seen. Like that, you know, and I know Peter not extremely well, but I know him in person, and great guy. You know, he and I had a nice talk on Los Angeles one time, and just he really struck me as a good guy. And that post-fight interview, if you saw it, was that's how the guys are supposed to be. That's a professional, and I was really impressed with that. And I really wanted to point that out. He gained a lot of new fans, and I liked him a lot anyway. But I like him much better now that I saw that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because boxing fans are so fickle, and you know, I mean, everyone, you know, had touted, like I said, you know, Peter as being the one to come in with the power, and, you know, supposedly Danny was the underdog. But it was funny to me, John, how quickly the climate changed once Danny had knocked out Peter. All of a sudden,
yeah.
All of a sudden now, you know, hey, you know, Danny is maybe the next opponent for Triple G. I mean, it was all kinds of accolades. What did you think about that? I mean, John, I mean,
yeah,
you,
that's
you,
far from
you
know, that,
yeah, I mean,
people
you've been on both,
you know,
sides.
Fans are funny like that. You know, they always do that. You know, everybody, like they say, the Monday morning quarterback. You know, all of a sudden they're like, oh, I knew Danny was going to get him. It's like, no, you didn't. You didn't say a word about that before Saturday night. Now all of a sudden Monday morning you're talking about how you were with Danny all the way. And people are always like that. And, you know, once a guy loses, next, you know, Pacquiao. People love Pacquiao. And now Floyd shuts him out, basically. And now everybody's saying he wasn't that good to begin with. And, you know, it's I guess it's human nature or whatever the case may be. It's not a very attractive quality, but it's certainly transparent.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, not to take anything away from Danny or his victory, but it just seemed funny to me how, you know, if you listen to the pre-fight interview and then you listen to the post-fight comments, you would have thought it was two different people. It was just
right.
Kind of a... It was just a little amazing to me. What do you see next for Danny Jacobs? Ice?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily run him into a fight with Triple G right away. You know, like, you know, it was a great victory, and, you know, I'd like to see him capitalize on it with another fight, you know, against a solid contender and, you know, make some more good money and, you know, build things up. You know, I'd like to see Canelo and Triple G next and maybe have Danny on the card and assuming he wins, have him fight the winner, something like that, you know, to build it up. You know, but I wouldn't necessarily jump into a fight with Triple G based off of this.
No, I wouldn't either.
Even though that's what a lot of people are going to say, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, this was kind of the climate last night. You know, oh, the next fighter we want to see him is with Triple G. But no, that's just, you know, I think Danny's team is a little too shrewd to go for that. But while we're talking about Canelo and Triple G, I don't really see that fight being made anytime soon. But what do you see for either fighter, John?
I think the buzz is certainly going to be there. I boxing has always been a business, but I think now it's even more of a business. And, you know, I think back, I'll tell you, a really good role model and idol of mine to a certain degree is Roberto Duran. And the reason being... if you remember, he beat Davey Moore in a big upset for the junior middleweight title in June of '83, right? And they didn't expect him to win that fight, but he came through with one of the best showings of his career. He stopped Davey Moore, and like 4 months later, he moves up again and challenges Hagler, like right away. You know, that's something special, you know, for guys like that. And you know, I like to see guys, you know, jump up and you know, they wanna fight the best right away. You know, Duran didn't really seem to be the guy to try and take his time. You know, because even though he lost that fight to Hagler, it was very close, and then he turned around and fought Tommy Hearns in his next fight. So you know, for the title again, another big fight. So he jumped in, you know, with the big names. He didn't really feel the need to take his time and lollygag around. So I admire that in him. But, you know, boxing is, I think, a lot of these guys are a little bit more business-minded today, for better or worse, whether it's sometimes it is a good thing. So in terms of what's next, I mean, to tell you the truth, I'm not really up at this moment with all the confusion with the titles. And, you know, I'm not even sure, other than the four main guys now, I'm not even aware of most of the middleweights, the top middleweights. I'd actually have to look at the rankings to actually see who we should fight next.
Yeah, hey, that's another thing, keeping track of who has what interim, what, you know, gold, what diamond belt, and all that. But, hey, John, I know you have some personal things you have to take care of. We thank you so much for letting us interrupt you for about 20 minutes here. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the Internet, any articles or events that you might feel that the boxing audience would be interested in.
Well, always on Facebook, John the Iceman Scully, and the Iceman is one word. My boxing conversations on there, not just boxing, but mostly boxing, pretty active, have some good names who get in the conversation. So I adhere anyone, boxing fans, to find me on there. And I'm also at Iceman John Scully on Twitter and Instagram. I welcome anyone. I accept all friends. I don't turn anybody down.
All right. As usual, Ice, thank you very much, my man, and look forward to having you back on next week. You have a great
all
day.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, too. All right.
Yeah. Always good to spend a few moments with Ice. Ice is our local, well, our boxing legend, other than Mr. Ronnie Shields. Ronnie will be on in about 3 minutes here. I'm going to get him on the show. A lot of new events happening. A lot of good fights coming up next weekend. Just for a quick review before we get Ronnie on. In London, we have Anthony Joshua. He's going to be fighting for the Commonwealth and the British heavyweight titles. We also have Pauly Malignaggi is going to be getting back in the ring. He's going to be fighting for the European welterweight title. So we wish Pauly good luck. And as always, Pauly was a good friend of the show. Started out with us way back when. Tony Bellew will also be back in the ring. He'll be fighting for the European cruiserweight title. Among some of the other fights happening this weekend, we'll also have a couple of course, NBC from San Antonio, Omar Figueroa will be coming back in the ring. We'll be having Mr. Dominic Brazili. He'll be back in the ring. Chris Areola will be fighting a 10-round. Victor Ortiz making his coming back in the ring after about 18 months now. He'll be coming back in the ring against Mr. Orlando Lora, be a 10-round heavyweight. We'll also have, Ronnie Shields will have a couple guys involved in this. I see Mr. Justin Deloach is on the card. I believe Pee Wee Cruz also has a bout coming up, another one of his fighters. This is actually a very good card down in San Antonio. It'll be on NBC, NBC Sports Net. Just keep tuned to the TV. We will have everything coming up. Spike TV will be I'll have some bouts on December the 18th. Mantis Bartholomew will be back in the ring. He'll be fighting for an IBF lightweight title against Dennis Shivakov. Always have a lot of trouble with these foreign names. Also, Isaiah Thomas will be fighting for a cruiserweight eliminator. So, Chris Pearson. 8 rounds, junior middleweights. Gervonta Davis, 10 rounds, light heavyweight. Vicky Bay, be back in the ring. 10 rounds, light heavyweight. Ishii Smith against Tommy Vannone. So that's on. That'll be Spike TV, December 18th. Estrada TV will have some matches on. So hey, there'll be a big weekend of boxing this weekend and next. So let's stay tuned. Right now, let's get Mr. Ronnie Shields on and let's have a little straight talk with Ronnie Shields. Let's get Ronnie on the line. Well, greetings, Mr. Shields. How are you this evening?
I'm great, man. Doing great.
Oh, man. Hey. Wow. Great weekend of boxing. My goodness. After we talked, after we said and dissected everything about the big fight, everyone's conception got turned clearly upside down. Ronnie, what did you think of that fight?
Well, you know, Danny Jacobs came out and caught him with a good shot. And, you know, Peter Quillen, he didn't tie up. He had an opportunity to tie up to get himself back together. And, you know, he failed to do it. And Danny Jacobs did what a veteran is supposed to do, continue to punch. And that's what he did. And, you know, and it worked in his favor. You know, I think... You know, everyone had expectations of this being a war, which I think we all had those expectations. But the thing about it was, you know, sometimes a person get caught with a shot that he can't come back from. And obviously that's what happened to Peter Quinlan. It could have easily been the other way around. But, you know, Danny Jacobs caught him first, and you know, and it worked out for him. You know, it don't always happen that way, but it's one of these things that happens, and just it's a sport, and it was good while it lasted.
Ronnie, you know, a lot of people were you know, questioning the referee, whether the referee stopped it too soon or too quick. I thought the referee's actions were perfect, considering the circumstances and of the fight. I saw absolutely nothing wrong with the referee's performance. Do you have any comments to make on that?
Well, I know the referee personally. He's a very good referee. He really did a good job. You know, what he did was he not only just looked at the movements of Peter Quinlan, he looked in his eyes, and he saw his eyes rolling back, and you know, and he knew he wasn't all together. His equilibrium was way off. And, you know, fighters are taught, you know, when you're hurt, take a knee, take the eight count, try to clear your head, and then get back up. But obviously, you know, Peter Quinlan is a warrior. He didn't want to go down. Like a lot of fighters don't want to go down. You know, sometimes a fighter don't, you know, it slips his mind to take the knee. And it happens. It's one of those things in the sport where, you know, it's a huge fight in front of, you're fighting in front of your public. And, you know, he lives in Brooklyn and, you know, and he want to be strong and prove to everybody he's the best, and he didn't want to go down. And so, but, you know, sometimes you don't do the smart thing. And in this case, Peter didn't do the smart thing, and he got caught with a good shot. You know, and it could have happened the same way to Danny Jacobs, because the fight was such a huge, huge fight for Brooklyn. And both guys definitely wanted to win. You saw that, you know, from the beginning. But, you know, it happens that Danny Jacobs did it. And, you know, congratulations to Danny.
Ronnie, one thing that struck me even more than Danny's performance was the post-fight conference between both fighters. I think it's very rarely that you really see a genuine extension of the hand, and I mean a real fellowship between two fighters after such a devastating loss. What did you think about, both fighters and the way they handled, one handled his victory as well as the other handled his loss?
Well, I think you have to understand the fighters themselves, the individuals. You know, I know both guys, and both guys has always been upstanding gentlemen. And, you know, I've never seen either guy turn away from a fan, from anybody, you know, that want to take a picture with them, that want to get an autograph from them, or even just speaking to the media. I've never seen these guys turn away from anybody. And, you know, and these guys are all around. They're always friendly to everybody. So they are genuinely great fighters and great, great people persons. So I think, you know, when you have that, you know, no matter the circumstance, no matter the environment that these guys are in, these guys are going to be themselves. And I think that's who they are. And so we, as people that knows them, you know, that's who we know them to be. So they are gentlemen. And this is why you got what you got.
Ronnie, what do you see next for Mr. Quillen? And, how long, if you were his manager or trainer, how long would you advise him to, you know, step away from the game, especially after the way, you know, like I said, the performance? How long would you expect before we would see Mr. Quillen back in the ring? And, you know, who do you kind of think, do you think that he would be having some more tune-ups and be back in a significant fight before the end of 2016?
Well, if I was a trainer, Peter Quillen, you know, definitely I would keep him out of the gym for about 2 months. So it got to be like January, February, keep him completely out of the gym, just let him be with his family, enjoy himself. You know, after about a month, I would tell him, hey, if you want to do some conditioning, that's fine, you know, about 2 or 3 days a week. But I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't let him do anything as far as boxing is concerned. The conditioning you can always do because they really can't hurt you. So, and after that, I would say another 2 months of training. So I probably, you know, wouldn't want to see him back in the ring until like April. And I would probably want to make him go up to 168 pounds, although he made 160. You know, he's a really big 160-pounder. I think 168 suits him a lot better. He'll be more comfortable at that weight. And I think he'll do a lot better at 168 than he did at 160.
And what about Mr. Jacobs? Everyone, of course, is hollering about Triple G and whatnot. But, Ronnie, I wouldn't take that role right away. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, when the man, he wins a huge fight, he wants to continue to fight the best fighters out there. You know, I think we have to understand that, you know, we, in a boxing game, we all proclaim to be the best. We all proclaim we want to fight the best. That's the way it should be. You know, I think that's the way boxing was meant to be. And in the realm of everything, you know, people are changing that and don't want the best to fight the best. I think that he should want to fight a guy like Triple G. After the performance that he put on the other night, he showed he was a legitimate contender to be one of the best fighters in the world. And to do that to such a good fighter like Peter Quillen, I think Daniel Jacobs proved himself. And I think the confidence is there. So why not fight Triple G? I think You know, this is what, you know, the sport is all about. And not trying to, you know, go and fight for just to fight, just to say I'm fighting somebody, you know, just to fight another contender. I mean, no, you know, you want to fight the best. This is what it's all about. And, you know, he proved that when he beat Peter Quinlan. And now I know he wants to prove it against a guy like a Triple G. If he can't get Triple G, then, you know, then you got to get the next best available contender. You know, you have to stay, you have to stay at the top. You can't drop back and fight just anybody because it doesn't look good when you just go back and now you're fighting just another fringe contender. You know, it doesn't look good. And, you know, and it's not proven your worth to me as a middleweight. As a middleweight.
We've heard some of the objections that Canelo has had to fighting Triple G. Do you think that possibly do you see there a matchup between Canelo and maybe a Danny Jacobs?
Well, I can see it, but I also know that the Triple G has a mandatory, you know, if he doesn't fight Canelo, and this other kid, I can't pronounce his first name, Toronto Johnson, I think. He's the mandatory for Canelo. I mean, for Triple G, you know. And, you know, and if he fight with the Johnson, which is his mandatory, you know, that's before Danny. So he has to get that out of the way unless he can make the Canelo fight. So, you know, so I understand Triple G has options and he's tied up. So Danny really can't get that fight next. But, you know, but there's other great guys out there that Danny can fight.
Any particular matchups come to mind?
I mean, I would love to see Danny fight. You know, if Canelo can't fight Triple G, I would love to see Danny Jacobs get the fight. But I understand that, you know, that Canelo don't want to fight past 155 pounds, and it's not right for Danny to try to go down to 155 pounds to take that fight. So I don't see that happening, you know, and especially with, you know, with the PBC, you know, and Golden Boy, I don't see that happening. I mean, I don't know, man. I really and truly don't know. You know, that's why he got a management team. That's why, you know, he got a team, period. And this is something that they have to sit down and discuss. But I, you know, I don't know, man. I can't see if, you know, I mean, I really don't know. I really don't know who Danny could fight right now. You know, I know people have been saying maybe they should do a rematch, but I don't think there should be a rematch between Danny and Peter. I don't see no need for it. I think, you know, it is what it is. Both guys has already accepted it. And I think they have to move on. But as far as Danny is concerned, I have no clue who he can fight right now.
Speaking of moving on, Chris Algieri fought on that undercard. He beat Eric Bonet. But Ronnie, where does Chris go from here? I mean, is he really a part of that welterweight scene?
Well, you know, I mean, he is a part of the welterweight scene. You know, although he lost two or three fights in a row, but against some of the best fighters in the world at welterweight, you know, I mean, he's still a contender there. So, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I was at church, so I didn't really get a chance to see I didn't get a chance to see that fight. But, you know, I know it was a tough fight, and he came out the winner. So that means he's still there. And, you know, maybe now he can fight another top 10 contender. I mean, I'm sure that's what he wants. So, you know, and he deserves it. 'Cause I think Chris Algieri is a really good fighter. I think he you know, he exemplifies what a fighter is. And, you know, and he's showing that he belongs. So why not?
Oh, most definitely. I definitely hear what you're saying. Now, Ronnie, we're talking another Kovalev match here. Ronnie, what do you think about the upcoming rematch here with Kovalev?
Well, you know, he was a true champion, and that this is what true champions do. He realized, hey, you know, maybe I had an off night, you know, and so sometimes, you know, fighters do have off nights. Maybe, you know, he felt that Fury was really up for him, and that he, you know, he made some mistakes in the gym, or maybe he just, you know, didn't have it. He maybe felt he had an off night, and so he's asking for his rematch. So because he got a rematch clause in it, in the contract, and you know, and Fury, you know, it seems like he wants to honor that. So, you know, I think it's good. You know, I think, you know, it wasn't like it was a 1 or 2 round fight. It was a 12 round decision. And I think Klitschko, you know, he realized he has to make some adjustments, and I'm sure he will. But, you know, it's a wait and see thing when you got a rematch between anybody.
Ronnie, you know, when we were talking to Scully about the heavyweight, he was talking about how awkward Fury was and how that really tended to be more toward his advantage. Do you think that Fury's clumsiness actually led more to Klitschko's demise than, you know, him actually being an effective puncher?
Well, absolutely. It did. It did hinder him. But this is why you have a rematch, because, you know, you go back, you look at the fight, and I think this is who Tyson Fury is. The fighter you saw on that night that he beat Klitschko, and I don't think he can change any more than what he's shown on that night. Klitschko maybe can make some more adjustments to ward off some of the things that he wasn't doing during the fight. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to do a lot of studying from the first fight to see where he messed up and what he can correct. So it's a strong possibility that he can do that.
Ronnie, you know, the Klitschko that we saw in that fight, to me, it seemed to lost that fire in his eyes. Ronnie, especially in the heavyweight division, you know, how do you reignite that passion, you know, once, you know, you've tasted defeat?
Well, I think the loss is what did it. The loss, you know, reignited the fire inside of him. You know, he's not used to losing. You know, he's used to winning. He's used to being on top all of the time. And sometimes, you know, you go in the fight and, you know, you may train hard, but, you know, that's on the outside. But in the inside, you may be overconfident that, oh, this is going to be an easy fight for me, or this and that. And, you know, he only can answer that question because he knows what he did and what he didn't do. And maybe right now he feels he didn't train 100%. And so, you know, he might have taken Fury a little light. And so the next one is going to be harder because I think that Fury now, you know, he has that extra amount of confidence that comes from winning a world title. And he loved the feeling. He don't want to give it up. It's going to make him train even harder. And, you know, and there's a possibility he could make the fight even more difficult for Klitschko the second time. So, but you never know until it happens.
Ronnie, we've seen, you know, now that we've had the changing of the guard, more or less, you know, we now have some of these young guns coming up. Mr. Anthony Joshua is getting in the ring. He's going to be fighting this weekend. We also know Romain Stiverne is going to be back in the ring, on the 16th. Ronnie, how wide open is this heavyweight division right now? As far as you know, some of these young and up and comers are concerned.
Well, I really think we're getting some good contenders now. We're getting some names that we haven't heard of in the last 3 or 4 years. And excuse me. And I just think that it's good for the sport. Now we haven't, you know, the competition is getting a lot harder, and you know, it's great because the heavyweight division needs to come back and take the lead in the sport of boxing.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. But it is nice to see, you know, some of the young Americans out there now, and even, you know, the young brash upcomers like Mr. Joshua. Ronnie, we have a big card coming up down there in Texas. We have a gentleman coming back to the ring after, you know, some personal struggles. Mr. Omar Figueroa is making his coming back to the ring. Ronnie, how hard is it for a fighter, especially one that, you know, that had all the problems that Omar had, to come back and humble himself in front of the fans and get back to the sport that he loves?
Well, it's not difficult at all. I mean, really, it's not difficult at all. You know, he's a fighter, man, and that's what he does. You know, he knows exactly what it takes. You know, he's been there, he's done that. You know, he's had injuries, and now he's gotten over them, and now he understands that he has to get back in the ring and do the things that helped him become champion of the world. So he just got to get back into the flow of things. And, you know, basically once he gets back there, you know, it's a lot easier for him to just say, you know what, let me go ahead and do what I know how to do and do it, you know, and that's the easy part.
Another young man that's not a young man, but a veteran that's coming back after about 18 months or so, is Mr. Victor Ortiz is coming back also. Ronnie, is the welterweight division, is there a place for Victor in the welterweight division?
I don't know, man. Victor wants to be a movie star. He wants to be everything except a fighter. You know, a fighter fights. This is what a fighter does. You know, you can't fight, you know, once a year and then come back and go be an actor for the rest of the year, then come back and want to be a fighter again. You know, boxing, you know, is a full-time sport. You know, this is your job. This is what you do. And, hey, you know, I mean, you know, he got to make up his mind what he want to be. You know, and I just think that Victor, he's okay. He's an okay fighter. But I don't see him as a serious contender to anybody.
Speaking of in that same vein, Johnny, we have Chris Areola. Even though the landscape of the heavyweights has changed somewhat drastically, Chris's chances, his best days gone by also?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Chris's best days are going by. You know, Chris, you know, at one point, you know, he was a really, really tough contender. And I just think that he squandered the best days of his life when he was younger by his own admission, doing things that he wasn't supposed to be doing with his body, you know, as far as drinking and, you know, eating and stuff like that. I think that he realized that now that he let he let it all go. And you try to capture that. You know, that's a very, very hard thing to do, you know. And I just feel that, you know, Chris is still trying, you know. There's still some guys he can beat out there. You know, it's going to be a very difficult fight for him against a guy like Travis Kaufman. Travis, you know, he's training here at Plex, you know, with his father and brother Nassim. And he's really, you know, getting in great shape and, you know, and but, you know, as far as Chris goes, you know, it's going to be a tough fight. You know, it's going to be a good fight, I believe. It's going to be an exciting fight because both guys, you know, they really know that this is a crossroads fight, you know. And I think it's a bigger crossroads fight for Chris Arreola than it is for Travis Carson.
Speaking of Plex, Ronnie, you have a few fighters on that same card. You want to mention some of them?
Yeah, they have three fighters on that card. They have Samaje Thomas, Ricky Edwards, and Justin Deloach. And we probably won't get on television on this one, not that I know of anyway. But we're getting ready, we're excited, and, you know, we just ready to go. But before that fight on Friday night on Showbox, I have two guys on Showbox. I got my middleweight, Steve Woodall, and my lightweight, Grant Peary Cruz. They're fighting on Showbox on Friday in Houston, and then started three fight on Saturday in San Antonio.
Speaking of Brian, what's his opponent like, Ronnie, and how have you been preparing for him? I know he's been in a few tough ones his last couple of outings.
Yeah, actually, our opponent just changed again. We were supposed to fight this kid named Will Ferrier from New York, and just about 3 days ago or 4 days ago, he came up with a bad injury, and so they contacted me just a couple of days ago and gave me another name, and so we're still looking at that kid, and hopefully the fight can be made. You know, it's all up to Showtime to approve all his opponents, but it's a kid from Oxnard, California, by way of I think he's from Russia. And I think Robert Garcia trains him. But this kid, he's 10 wins on one loss. And so hopefully get approved. And, you know, and then a Pee Wee of the co-main event on Showtime.
Ronnie, we've seen some of your young guys on Cowboy Carl and some of the other ones that have made the TV cards. How important is it, for your young guys to get this exposure and to see, the example that, the rest of the family tends to show them at Plex Gym, because you guys are more of a family than a boxing club?
Yeah, you know, the good thing about it is all the guys support each other and they are rooting for each other. You know, everybody... Of course, everybody wants to get on television, but, you know, that's sometimes impossible because of how the timing goes. But, you know, I mean, but just think when we're in Dallas, you know, we got all of our guys on television. So it doesn't happen that way all the time, but when it does happen, you know, all the guys rally around each other, they support each other, and they're happy when one or two of them do get on. So it's great.
Ronnie, another gentleman that I kind of forgot to ask you about, he's going to be fighting the same night you are, so I know you're not going to get a chance to watch him, but I know you're familiar with his work, and that's Mr. Nonino Donaire. Ronnie, after his layoff, he's going to be fighting for the WBO junior featherweight title. Ronnie, what do you think we can expect from Nonino?
Well, you know, he's a very good fighter and strong fighter. I think he's one of the best fighters out there today. And I think that he's a smart guy. He really knows you know, how to work his way around that ring. And, you know, I'm sure his opponent have a lot to say about that, though. But, you know, but Nonito, you know, he's a really good puncher. And anytime you have a punch in any fight, you know, you better beware because, you know, he's always in the fight.
Ronnie, this week when they were showing the fights, one of the young men that they showed other than Deontay Wilder, they showed Mr. Errol Spence Jr. And we've had some talks about Errol. Considering the landscape of his weight division, Ronnie, how soon do you see him making a major bout in 2016?
Oh, I think it's next fight, actually, because from what I understand, his last fight was an eliminator, and his next fight is the second eliminator, which is the final eliminator, and then he should be fighting for the world title. So, you know, Errol is right there. He's at the cusp of winning a world title.
Yeah, and he's another very personable young man that, you know, we'd like to see how far he can go. Ronnie, a gentleman that I'm really high on, and he's going to be on Spike TV on the 18th, and that's Mr. Chris Pearson. He's still fighting 8 rounders. He's a middleweight. But, Ronnie, what do you see for Mr. Pearson as a young and up-and-coming young junior middleweight prospect?
Well, you know, I'm not too familiar with Chris. I know he fights for TMZ, you know, promotions, and, you know, and I know Aaron is his manager. But, you know, he's fought on a couple cars with us before. You know, I know he's a southpaw. He's trained by one of my best friends, Al Mitchell. And, you know, so I know he's in a good boxer. So, you know, I mean, he's at the point to where, you know, he has to make some things happen real soon. And, you know, and I'm sure that's what they're getting up for. But, you know, they're taking their time with him. They're not rushing him. You know, he's a young guy. They realize, you know, I guess they realize they need maybe a little bit more time. You know, and, you know, with some fighters, you know, that's what you have to do. You can't rush them. So he's fighting 8 rounds. So that's good for him. And I guess that when they get more comfortable with him, you know, then they'll pick up his rounds and pick up the competition.
Yeah, that seems very good and very reasonable. But just sticking with some of the up-and-coming now, we talked about the middleweight division a little bit here. We have Andy Lee. He's going to be fighting Billy Joe Saunders for the WBO middleweight title. What do you see from Andy in this fight, Ronnie?
Well, you know, I like Andy Lee, man. I've been following this kid for a long time. He's a tall, lanky guy who can punch, and you know, and he's one of these guys, man, that, you know, if you don't watch out, this kid, he can knock you out. And you know, I know Billy Joe Saunders, you know, he's a really good fighter, but I think Andy Lee might be a little bit too much for him. You know, I think Andy Lee, you know, awkward, strong guy, you know, but the thing about Andy is he could be hit. And you know, I'm not sure how strong Billy Joe Saunders are, but you know, he just had to figure out the southpaw style and how to deal with the power of Andy Lee. But I really like Andy Lee in this.
Do you see Andy Lee returning to this side of the pond, Ronnie?
Absolutely. I think he has no choice, you know. You know, he got to be a good opponent for a guy like Danny Jacobs, I feel. I think, you know, both guys, you know, I think, you know, when Andy fought Peter Quinlan, you know, and they both got dropped and the fight ended up in the draw. But I think with the style of Andy Lee and with the style of Danny Jacobs, I think that's fireworks all together right there. So I would love to see that fight. That would be a good direction for, you know, for Danny Jacobs. So if Hannity gets by Billy Joe Saunders, you know, that possibly could be the next fight.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, that's on Showtime, but on HBO, now, we talked a little bit about Brian Jennings and Luis Ortiz, the upcoming fight on the 19th. Ronnie, who do you see winning this fight, and what do you see as a possibility for the winner?
Well, I tell you, man, I've been around Brian Jennings a little bit, and I know him. He's a very hard worker. You know, the thing is, he's not a big puncher, but the man got heart galore. And for him to win this fight, it's going to take a lot of heart. I don't think he has one punch knockout power, but, you know, he has so much heart that, you know, he can drive a guy crazy. He can give him fits. And, you know, Brian is not scared of anybody, and that's the good thing about Brian Jennings. But Luis Ortiz is a big fella. He's a big guy and strong, you know, and can punch with both hands. So I don't know. You know, I think it's going to be a good fight. You know, I see it going as a distance fight. You know, Brian has the capabilities to outbox, you know, a guy like Luis Ortiz. So, you know, to me, it's a 50-50 fight. I can't call a winner on this one. But I think for the winner, you know, whoever wins probably would definitely be looking more toward fighting the winner of Klitschko and Fury than Deontay Wilder, because we don't know who Deontay is fighting next anyway. And, you know, and if he does get by his next opponent, whoever he is, then, you know, he has a mandatory, you know, that he has to deal with.
Ryan, another action-packed fight that I possibly see on this card is Gabriel Rosado and Joshua Clady, middleweights, 10-rounders. But, Ronnie, does the winner really have any direction to go in this fight other than it just being entertaining for the fans?
Yeah, I don't see the winner going anywhere, actually. Well, actually, no, I can't say that. I think, like, Joshua Clady, you know, I think it's more in favor of a Joshua Clady for him to win. I think he would have a legitimate, say-so to get a big fight. But not Gabe Rosado, because, you know, Gabe has lost, like, you know, his last two or three boxing fights. And, you know, I think it'll be more difficult for Gabe to secure a really big fight, you know, than Joshua Clady, because Joshua Clady did knock out Anthony Mundine, but he didn't fight again until. And, you know, and I think that's the mistake he made, you know. So he's kind of lost in the shuffle of all these fighters that's out there. So, but, you know, it's a crossroads fight for both guys. Whoever loses, you know, basically their career, as far as boxing is concerned, is almost over.
Yeah, I definitely tend to agree with that. Now, Yorkis Gamboa is also on this card, Ronnie. Is Yorkis in the twilight of his career?
Well, I don't know, you know, and that's the thing, because he don't fight enough to say that he's in the twilight of his career, you know. He gave a good old count of himself for Terrence Crawford, came back and got a couple wins. Now, he's getting ready to fight a young man that I've worked with before in the past when he first turned professional, Hylan Williams. You know, Hylan Williams is a really good boxer, but he's no puncher. But, you know, he can really give Gamboa a lot of problems. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a wait and see thing to see what Gamboa really has left.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you don't have, like you said. I mean, it's been quite a while since he's been in the ring, so we don't, you know, we can't really gauge by that. But Ronnie, another older gentleman getting back in, getting another payday. Mr. Shane Mosley. He's going to be fighting December 17th, Panama City. Ronnie, has Shane really got enough clout for him to keep himself relevant?
I don't think so, man. I think Shane, you know, he's just doing what all of the older guys that has gone on and retired now has done. You know, like all of the old fighters from back in the day, you know, like the Foremans, the Larry Holmeses, the Spinkses, you know, the Tysons, the Holyfields. He's on that last one. You know, he's trying to squeeze every bit of his popularity, of his name out, you know, just to, you know, help his career. And, you know, he's definitely on the end of his career for sure. He's been on the end of his career for a while now. And I think that, you know, sooner or later, they're going to put him in with somebody that's going to really hurt him. And, you know, and he's going to have to realize that, you know, this sport is just passed him by. You know, it's time for him to give it up.
Ronnie, Paulie has another fight for a European title. Has he fallen into the same trap as Shane?
Exactly, the same thing. Just, you know, their career path is along the same lines, you know. And the thing about it is, I don't understand how Tim Paulie, being from Brooklyn, New York, qualify to fight for a European title. You know, I mean, I know he was originally born in Italy, but now he's a U.S. citizen. So how does that qualify him to be a European, to fight for a European championship? You know, but this is the sport. You know, they do as they please. But it's not going to help him anyway, because Paulie can't beat any other top fighters anyway.
Yeah, you know, is this once again coming down to the famous expression, sanctioning fees? Is that strictly what this is about, Ronnie?
Well, no, I think this is the fighter himself. This is all about Paulie Malignaggi. This is all about Shane Mosley. This is about the fighters overstaying their welcome in the professional sport of boxing. This is about, you know, it is about, you know, these people want to get sanctioning fees to make more money, you know, to live off a guy's name, you know, and it's about a whole lot of things, you know, and it's always been about that. And, you know, I tell you, man, really and truly, you know, it's hard for some fighters, well, not some, it's hard for a lot of fighters to say goodbye to the sport of boxing. I mean, it's really and truly hard to turn your back on your sport and realize that, you know, that you're done. You know, when you've been doing something all your life, you want to continue to do it, even at an older age when you know you're supposed to be sitting back and, you know, you've made all the money that you can possibly make. And a lot of people have squandered that money. And in Shane's case, we all know that divorce he got really took almost everything that he had. And, you know, and these guys are always trying to go back and recoup. Some guys lose their money through, you know, not paying their taxes. Some guys just have bad business decisions. Some guys just threw away their money, you know. And, you know, and you're always looking for that one big payday that they think is going to get them another payday. So, you know, the sport, all it does is recycle fighters. That's what it does. And it recycles them to the point to where, you know, the same thing keeps happening to everybody. You know, when you don't take care of your money, this is what happens. You have to overstay your welcome in the sport of boxing.
Ronnie, two other fighters that I think have taken a lot of punishment and have maybe overstayed their welcome, even though they're not really that old. But they're going to be fighting on Spike TV on the 18th, and that's Mickey Bay and Ishii Smith. Ronnie, can either one of these gentlemen, I mean, can they be relevant? Can either one of them be relevant in their weight classes at any particular time?
Well, I'll tell you like this. Mickey Bay, you know, did a very, very unwise thing. You know, it was really crazy what he did. You know, the guy had already won, you know, the lightweight championship of the world. And by his own admission, you know, he didn't want to defend the title. They offered him, you know, here's what my understanding was. They offered Mickey Bay $200,000 to fight Mayweather, offered him $200,000 to fight on ESPN. $200,000 on ESPN at the time was a lot of money. And he decided he wanted to go to Postgate. And then when it all came down to it, he was going to end up making about $40,000 because of the Postgate. And so, you know, whoever, you know, was doing his business for him advised him wrong not to take the $200,000 to fight the same guy, you know, that he wanted to go to Postgate with because he thought maybe the Postgate would be more. You know, this is when guys don't understand the sport. They don't understand that, you know, nobody was interested in his fight anyway. So he should have listened to his Lauren Floyd Mayweather and took the $200,000 to fight the same fight that he was going to fight for 50. So, you know, but he outsmarted himself. But Mickey Bay is a good fighter, you know, and he had an opportunity to come back and win the world title. But he shakes it. You know, I mean, look, EJ has been around a long time. And, you know, he keeps going and, you know, he keeps coming back. And then he gets a few fights, he wins, and then he gets back in the mix. So until, you know, somebody really has beat him, and, you know, that's, you know, it's not the more you can tell about a guy like EJ. You know, EJ hasn't really been beaten up to the point to where, you know, he should just say, okay, this is it. So, you know, he's going to continue.
Are these guys still associated with Floyd's promotions, Ronnie?
As far as I know, they are. I mean, I haven't heard I know Isha is. You know, not as far as Mickey Bay, I'm sure he is too. That's the reason they're fighting on Spike TV.
Well, I mean, doesn't it seem, I'm just trying to see how a fighter of Floyd's caliber ends up with a stable that's at best rather mediocre. How does that happen, Ronnie?
Well, you know, I suspect that. You know, think about it, man. When you have a guy like a Floyd Mayweather, everybody knows Floyd has an ego. You know, and Floyd is not going to bring somebody into his gym that's better than him. You know, now that he's retired, you know, maybe he will now. You know, actually, because now, you know, his promotion company needs to make money, and he needs to have some good fighters there. So, you know, so maybe now, you know, he will try to sign somebody that, you know, that can possibly be pound for pound the best fighter in the world. He claims he has a kid, you know, Ashley Telfair. He claims Ashley can be better than him. So, you know, he's offered him to Adrian Bruno. And so we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ronnie, you know, there's a lot of speculation. They say Friday Pacquiao's going to make the announcement. Ronnie, who do you have any insight, or who do you think that Pacquiao is going to face what possibly could be the last time we see him in the ring?
Well, you know, that's all speculation anyway, man. So, you know, some people are saying, you know, it's going to be Travis Crawford. Some people are saying it's going to be Timothy Bradley. You know, the problem is that's the only two options he has. he has nobody else, you know, because Tightwing don't have anybody else. So, you know, that's the only two guys I can see him fighting. Pacquiao has always tried to fight the best fighters out there, you know. And, I mean, this, you know, I don't even concern myself with it, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter, make a difference to me who he fights. He's going to always give you the best he got, and, you know, that's just who he is, you know. I think Manny Pacquiao is going to go down as one of the best fighters to ever put on a pair of gloves. He's always given everything that he could possibly give. And, you know, so whoever he picks, you know, I don't think he's going to do much on pay-per-view anyway. People are not going to forget the thing that happened with in the middle of the fight. And I think people are going to bark at him. So it's a wait and see.
Rania, a lot was made about the pay-per-view numbers, you know, for the year when they included the numbers from the Canelo-Cotto fight. But, Ronnie, when you consider those numbers by themselves, was that fight really successful?
Yes, I think they did something like 900,000. From what I read, I think it was like 900,000 buys. And they said they like $58 million off of that, and then the gate, they made another good total off the gate. So, you know, I think it was a very successful outing. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not into pay-per-view numbers and all that stuff, but if they can make their money back, you know, I mean, that's what HBO definitely want to do. They want to make their money back and make a profit. And if $58 million was a profit for them, then it's great. Then we're going to get more pay-per-view fights. If it wasn't, I think they're going to sit back and take a look and tell these guys, look, man, see, y'all got to step it up. These numbers have to go up.
Ronnie, after all this criticism about Floyd and you know, we talked about, you know, how some of his flaws weren't, his fights weren't that eventful or whatever, but, you know, is without Floyd, is the pay-per-view era over?
Well, I think the sport of boxing is bigger than Floyd Mayweather, so I don't see the pay-per-view era being over. I think it's just we have to, you know, we have to build up these young stars to be pay-per-view fighters. You know, nobody, people said the same thing when Muhammad Ali, you know, finally retired. You know, people said, hey, well, you know, Muhammad Ali is gone now, so, you know, boxing is not going to do anything. And then here comes Floyd Mayweather. You know, where Oscar De La Hoya was before him. It was a few fighters, it was Ray Leonard, and all of these guys before De La Hoya. So, you know, every era is going to have a star. We're going to keep bringing out stars. So, since Floyd Mayweather is gone, you know, nobody has stepped up yet. But trust me, somebody will step up, and somebody is going to do some great numbers.
You know, Stephen Espinoza was talking about, you know, the pay-per-view era and, you know, what they what we can expect from, you know, boxing and Showtime in 2016. Ronnie, I don't know whether or not you had a chance to read that article, but is the future of boxing as bright as Steve Espinoza portrays it to be?
Absolutely, man. Boxing is doing great right now. This is the time to be a boxer. You know, I mean, you know, everybody is trying to outdo everybody. The PBC is really going great, and you know, everybody else is trying to, you know, trying to figure out, hey, how can we fall in line and do the same thing as the PBC? I mean, just look at what a lot of promoters are doing. Top Rank, you know, have signed a thing with True TV. De La Hoya have Estrella TV, you know, and, you know, Roc Nation is doing, you know, they're trying to do something with, you know, BET and some other networks they're trying to do. So, you know, you see it's a pattern, you know. And if, you know, if PBC wouldn't start, didn't get started, then people be fighting to get on ESPN and, you know, and again Showtime and HBO. So now we just have another outlet that came up. Now people are, they're having other fights on CBSN and NBCSN, you know. So, you know, boxing is doing great.
Ronnie, you know, you spoke of it, PBC, the pioneer. Ronnie, after all of the controversy and everything, you know, and everybody wanting to sue and, you know, talking about monopolies and all that, have these other companies now, like Showtime and like you said, you know, Top Rank and possibly Roc Nation, have they really come to adopt the PBS model?
Well, I think they don't. I think you don't have a choice. You know, I think you don't have a choice. People see free boxing, and that's what they want to see. You know, people are going to get tired of paying for fights that, you know, really aren't that good. You know, so, you know, they're saying, you know what, if we go do that, you know, you really better give us something good. So I think people are really satisfied with the fight that they see on PBC. The PBC fights are really good. And I just think that, you know, people aren't enjoying themselves. You know, the numbers are really up, you know, and people are watching. And that's what they want to see. And, you know, unless you give them big names to pay for fights, then they're not going to turn on and pay for fights with the fights people that they don't know. You know, and I think with the PBC, the fighters are really getting known. People are seeing this every day now, and, you know, every week they're having good fights on television, and people are remembering who those guys' names are. So unless you give them a name that they really want to see, then they might not turn on. So I think, you know, in order for you to get your fighter's name out there, you know, you have to do something different.
Yes, most definitely. And, you know, like I said, you know, I had said a long time ago, I think they should all at least, at the very least, send Al Haymon a thank you card rather than try to get away with a lot of the garbage that's been passed around. But, Ronnie, one fight that we didn't talk about that I don't know if it's been signed yet, but there's a good possibility. Adonis Stevenson and Andre Ward. Andre, do you think, Ron, do you think this fight will be made?
I haven't heard that. So I really don't see how that can be made. You know, if that fight was so easy to make, then you should have made the Kovalov and Adonis Stevenson. So that fight they've been trying to make for over a year now, still haven't happened yet. They, you know, it was supposed to go to purse bid. Kathy Dover pulled out of the purse bid, because she signed Kovalov with HBO, but Andre Ward is signed with HBO at the same time. So I don't see how they can make Andre Ward and Kovalov and not make Kovalov. I mean, Andre Ward and Adonis Stevenson and not make Kovalov and Adonis Stevenson. So I haven't heard that. I don't mean it's not true, but I just don't see how they can make. You cannot make one fight, but you can make that fight.
Well, hey, you know, stranger things have happened in the world of boxing. But, are we actually doing a disservice to Andre Ward? I mean, you know, this is a gentleman that we all consider one of the pound for pound's best, but we don't get a chance to see him in the ring. I mean, you know, is this boxing's fault or is this Andre Ward's fault?
Well, I think what you have to understand is Andre Ward has injuries. And, you know, I've been knowing about his knee for a very long time. And when he was supposed to fight, you know, on the undercard of Cotto and Canelo, you know, his knee flared up on him and he couldn't fight. So, you know, and this is not something that's just started happening to him. He's been down with that injury for a very long time. And I think anybody that knows Andre knows that Andre has never turned away from a fight and never will turn away from a fight. So, but, you know, the thing about it is, you know, you have to, he has to take care of himself. And when he have an injury, you know, you got to, you know, you definitely don't want to go in there with an injury. So that's, you know, got to be crazy to do that. And, you know, and he doesn't have to do that. You know, people, you know, it's not nobody's making excuses for him. It's just a true fact that, you know, he has a bad knee and it swells up on it sometimes. And this is what happened in his last case when he was supposed to fight this guy, Alexander Brand.
Yeah, you know, like you said, no one should go into the ring injured, and we do understand that, you know. But, Ronnie, you know, hey, the man is such a master at his craft that, you know, we would love to see him more in the ring. We all understand that. But, hey, my man, you know, as usual, time flies when you're having fun. And, you know, we always enjoy sharing this hour with you and talking boxing. Ronnie, why don't you tell us, you know, do you whatever you guys have going on at Plex, do you have something special going on for the holidays? And, you know, what we can, well, you've already announced your fights for the weekend, but kind of tell us what you guys have coming up for 2016 and, you know, your expectations there.
Well, you know, as usual, you know, we always have big expectations for all the fighters that we train, and you know, we basically want to always fight the best fighters out there for us. We always, you know, consider that the fighters we have always, you know, want to train hard, always want to be the best that they can possibly be. And you know, we're looking to 2016 has been a great year for us so far. You know, we've been undefeated this year. You know, we have 5 fights left. You know, 2 fights on Friday, 3 fights on Saturday. Hopefully everything goes well with all those. If it does, I mean, then we'll have an undefeated year. So that's always great. That means all the guys did what they were supposed to do. It means we did what we were supposed to do. And, you know, and that in itself makes us look, you know, look forward to 2016. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can continue to get the fans the best fights out there. And, you know, people start to really look and see, you know, all the guys that we're working with, see that that these guys are going to be some serious contenders, as well as the champions that we do have.
Most definitely, Ronnie, and we always enjoy watching the young men perform in the ring, and we enjoy talking to them on the show and a lot of the things that they do for the public and for themselves in and out of the ring. So, Ronnie, we enjoy having you every weekend, my man, and thank you so much for your time, and look forward to having you back on next week, my man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you much. I, you know, this could probably be my last show of the year because next week I won't be back. I won't be in town. And the following week I'm going on vacation. So this will probably be my last night for town until the first of the year.
Oh, well, you, hey, enjoy yourself. Make sure you and the missus have a great time. You, hey, keep, hope you have an undefeated year. And, hey, man, we look upon hearing your name somewhere around that Trainer of the Year time. So you have a great night, my man, and see you the first of the year. You have a great one.
All right. You too. Bye.
Well, that was the great Mr. Ronnie Shields. We enjoyed having him all this year with us, enjoyed all of his insights. We look forward to starting out the new year with him. So have a great night, everyone. we'll see you next week. Don't forget to catch us Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. We'll have Mr. Pat Russell. So have a great night, everyone. See you next week. Whoa.